Focus host Andre Middleton reports some local art news and interviews photographer Larry Swick. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Gaining Ground, a feature-length documentary film by Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein on Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st at Cinema 21 in Portland. Gaining Ground tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practice so they can feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. The documentary interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists, large farms in transition, and small family farmers. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st, at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival, September 26th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Park Rose High School West Athletic Field in Portland. The Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival remembers and celebrates the art, music, personality, and legacy of the great Kaw Creek musician Jim Pepper. This year's performers include One Heart, featuring Jan Michael Looking Wolf, the Delbert Anderson Trio, Four Directions Drum, Big B, and many more. Again, that's the third annual Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival, September 26th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Park Rose High School West Athletic Field, 12003 Northeast Shaver Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming up today, guests are Vernon Alder, and we're more on the situation in Appalachia where people are sickening and dying as a result of mining, mainly mountaintop removal mining, but also pipelines are going through. There were five activists who staged a successful protest against a pipeline. There are further mining and gas extraction and exploration and efforts that have been stopped or slowed by activism in Appalachia, but they do need people's help. They do need to hear these voices. And more important than being, in some cases, in having a voice is having someone to listen to that voice and take action, standing in solidarity with all these people who are fighting the good fight on behalf of traditions and cultures that have been part of the American landscape for hundreds of years. And that said, we move right along. Corey Saylor, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, joins us today to talk about something that happened in Spokane. Now, the city council was hosting a town hall meeting at a community center where it was scheduled to present a salutation to the Council on American Islamic Relations for acknowledgement of the amazing work that the group does to promote equality of Islamic people. The salutation, however, was to anything but the promotion of equality of Islamic people. What in fact happened was there was a rather disgraceful protest from Act for America, which posted on their Facebook page asking people to show up and protest. Amazing in this day and age, especially with world geopolitics in the state that it actually is, to be so blissfully unaware of what shameful act this was. So that said, we will be speaking with Corey a bit later on, and Medford City Council member Kevin Stein has got some bones to pick with reigning Democrat man on the blue moon. He wants to close up corporate loopholes to prevent U.S. corporations from buying a foreign company. He wants to do a lot of the things that we expected Senator Ron Wyden to do. And Ron Wyden has indeed disappointed many of us. His stance on LNG, his stance on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and other trade deals that we know would be nothing but hurtful to working people. Activists locked down a Tacoma detention center egregious Northwest Detention Center has been in the spotlight time and again, and yet still it operates even in the progressive spotlight. It operates in dark corners. And a prime reason for the wave of refugees in Europe is the deterioration of conditions in Syria. There was supposed to be support for people in Syria so they could do the best they could to continue living their lives. And that support was not forthcoming. It would cost less than $1 billion to close the U.S. share of the shortfall. And it would make a huge difference to people's lives instead of risking those lives in dangerous travels across the Mediterranean and across Europe. And the Indigenous Nations versus Junipero Serra, AIM takes Serra to court. That happened on September 12th. We're still feeling a bit of the repercussions of that, and we're going to hear a lot more from AIM as the Pope Francis wants to declare Junipero Serra to be a saint. The Japanese minister in charge of negotiations for Pacific Rim Free Trade Initiative says that talks on the free trade deal will not be concluded anytime soon if the 12 member countries fail to strike an accord. The meeting is coming up at the end of September, so keep an eye on that. And keep an eye also on City Councilor Kevin Stein. He is launching a challenge to no less than Ron Wyden, so we'll see how that pans out. But right now, we've got Vernon Alder with us this morning to talk about conditions in Appalachia and how they affect the tradition, the peoples, literally the storyline of many, many generations. Good morning, Vernon. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So can you talk a bit about what your organization has been doing and why there is a need to defend people's lives?
Yes, Cold River Mountain Watch is one of the few groups that's actually in the heart of mountaintop removal country in Appalachia. We've been around since 1998, trying to fight for people's lives and preserve our communities. One of the things that we're doing now is the Appalachian Community Health Emergency Act, the AHEC Act. It's H.R. 912 in the present Congress. And the reason we're doing that is because mountaintop removal is a deadly means of extracting coal from the mountains. And one of the things that we've seen is over the past few years, a number of scientific studies that point more and more at mountaintop removal and the blasting dust that infiltrates our bodies, our lungs, and through our bodies and causes cancer and other horrible diseases, lung disease, birth defects, and what have you. So, after listening to the previous program regarding climate change, one of the things that I've been saying for a long time is that mountaintop removal is the cradle of the climate crisis, because not only are you extracting this coal, which becomes CO2 in the atmosphere and does that thing there, but you're also eliminating the carbon sink of the forest. So even if climate change didn't exist, mountaintop removal is still killing people as a local, and we don't know exactly sure how far that footprint is yet. The science is still fairly new. And if we can't end mountaintop removal, which is killing people locally, how are we going to address climate change on a national or global scale? So, you know, with mountaintop removal, you have you have these coal companies that detonate a huge amount of explosives, and it's it ranges, you know, from 1 year to the next, from like right now it's around 2.5 to 3 million pounds per day of explosives. It's normally the ammonium nitrate and diesel mixture that Timothy McVeigh used to blow up the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. But what happens is you have these detonations that emit this dust into the air that people breathe in nearby communities. And the World Health Organization has identified these airborne particulates as carcinogenic. The most recent science, as of October of last year, a report that was published that shows where they actually took the mountaintop removal dust from filters in people's communities. You know, it's actually mountaintop removal dust. The scientists say this is where it came from. It's not from your fireplace. It's not from the road or what have you. It came from up there. They exposed human lung cells to it, and it produced precancerous changes, and they injected lab animals with it, and it promoted the growth of tumors. So it's a very serious problem. I mean, you know, the one of the reports shows what the scientists call 4,000 excess deaths per year in top removal communities.
That's an incredible number. These are not large communities, not large cities, and people here in Appalachia, by and large, don't have access to health care that should be made available by rights to all Americans, but especially in these parts of the world. And the companies, the extraction companies, mining companies, do nothing to help these people. They just die.
Well,
I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. Bernard, hang on a second. We are going to run up against a time horizon right here, but I'd like to have you back very, very soon. There's a lot more to talk about, and there's a lot more awareness that we need to accomplish here to bring everybody, listeners and anyone they talk to, up to speed on this. It's mountaintop removal mining. It's killing people. And can you tell people how they can support your work with the Appalachia Health Emergency Act?
Okay, you can go to our website, crmw.net, or the ACACT website, ACHEACT.org, at crmw.net or ACACT.org, and learn more. You can see the studies, you can see what's being done, and contact your congressman and your senator. We would love to have this introduced in the Senate, and that's where a lot of the work is going right now.
Yeah, we're going to get that done. That's coming up on October 29th. We have been speaking with Vernon Alder with the Coal River. I want to thank you so much for joining us today and ask you to come back on the air soon to talk more about this. We go now to Corey Saylor with the Council on American Islamic Relations. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Well, at this time in history, and as we said, geopolitics, what could possibly be worse than what this group, which I Act for America, came up with? And thank God the care is around to pass out free copies of the Quran to people who, for whatever strange reason, haven't been able to access the Quran, one of the major religious treatises in the world.
Well, it's that we've been distributing the Quran for several years now. The most recent round of distributions, though, are in response to candidate Ben Carson suggesting that Islam is not consistent with the Constitution and then saying he would not vote for a Muslim for president, which, you know, is it's shocking to the mind that you have someone who's running for the office of the presidency in the United States who's not even familiar enough with the Constitution to recognize that Article 6 of the Constitution bans religious tests for public office. So when we pointed this out to him, he sort of backtracked a bit and then altered his stance to say that the next president should be sworn in on a stack of Bibles, not the Quran. And, you know, sorry to go back to the Constitution on you there, Mr. Carson, but Article 2 of the Constitution does not stipulate that the president's oath has to be taken on a Bible. As a matter of fact, John Quincy Adams and Theodore Roosevelt did not use a Bible in their swearing-in ceremonies. So that should be left to the candidate. But we decided that, you know, with this extreme level of misunderstanding of both Islam and the Constitution, we have the capacity to give away Quran, so we're going to be doing that. Let people read it for themselves.
Thank you so much, Corey. I wish we had more time. What happened, of course, in Spokane is pretty really egregious. I sadly enough have to let you go, but my do want listeners, and I commend everyone's attention to the Council on American Islamic Relations. It's an extraordinary organization. They're all around the country. The work that they have done has been commendable past words. I encourage people to go take a look at the website. You can find news of the Muslim community all across the country there. Thanks again for that, Corey. Thanks also to Vernon Alder with the Coal River Group. And this has been Ir Cascadia for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015. Janet Allison engineered for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Coming up, we hear more excerpts from Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and activist Chris Hedges. Listen.